The question that I would ask is, as Christians especially, do we have to be careful about being, to use the word, Bereans, as we hear about in Acts? The Bereans were more noble than the rest because they listened to the words of Paul and they searched it out in the scriptures to see if it was true. Do you think that we struggle around actually really searching it out for ourselves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons I blog is precisely for that reason. I think there's a tendency for people to not read the news very carefully. There's a difference between the facts that the news agents cite and the kind of spin and impression that they try and create with the facts. And often there can be a bit of a stretch. And I think what happens is there's a tendency for people to sort of just read the news or hear the news and sort of pick up more than just what the facts being reported are, but pick up the spin and pick up the impression and hear things that have been quoted out of context, and not kind of note, hey, the person actually didn't say that. That's what the news reporter suggested they said. You know, and I think we do this a lot, and I think this does create, you know, all kinds of problems. Because, I mean, the media are very, very powerful people. They have, to some extent, control over our knowledge of information. Our voting decisions are made on the basis of the information we receive. So you're talking about a very powerful position and people who have quite a bit of ability to manipulate things.
When you say that the media creates spin, why on earth would they want to spin a story? I mean, we look at News of the World and we realise that there's a lot of money to be made. Is it purely money or is there other agendas at work
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, nobody is a disinterested journalist. Nobody sort of says, I'm just going to go out and report this in a kind of, you know, purely factual manner. I mean, I knew a lot of journalists at university, and I mean, a lot of these people have strong political views on certain things, strong even theological or anti-theological views on certain things, and that, of course, as you said, they're making money, they're selling a story, and so, you know, and they're all very well aware that their position is one of power. They often feel they have this kind of duty to inform the public about, you know, corruption here, about the bad guys over here, and that sort of thing. So, you know, this is not just this passionate, oh, here's some facts. You know, that would actually be quite a boring job if that's all it was. So, you know, often there are political and ideological agendas and all sorts of stuff. And so these people are reporting the news as they see it. They're reporting the news to make a story. They're reporting the news to inform the public about what they think is right and what they think is wrong.
Matthew, one of the big things, especially for Christians, is we also have an agenda, and we have a theological, I suppose, glasses that or lens that we're looking at all this through. So how do we wade through the media? How do we wade through our faith? How do we wade through theology and tie the three together?
Well, part of it is thinking critically. One thing that in critical thinking classes that I've taught high schoolers and stuff to do is to actually read the stuff very carefully. Often you have to ask yourself, what is actually explicitly said and what is not actually explicitly said? And the kind of things you looked at too, like, for example, with the interview here with Barry Soper, what actually were the facts? Mm. And the facts were, you know, there was a guy and there were some people killed in a car. They left the country at a certain length of time. The Prime Minister of Israel had rung a certain number of times. Those were the facts, you know, and there was an inference they were trying to draw from those facts. And of course, as you noted, there was also a timing that the story leaked. And when you start to notice things like that, you start saying, okay, here are the facts. There's an inference they're trying to get us to draw. Have they really given us enough evidence to draw that inference? And is the timing of this, does that suggest something deeper may or may not be going on? And that should be enough to arouse your suspicion and think, okay, so the facts are there were these Israelis in this car and this happened. And then there's these other people drawing this inference from it. Their case hasn't been made. And then, of course, when the Prime Minister comes back and says, you know, I've done this, but this is in the national interest, and you realise you're dealing with intelligence and things like this, the reality is you're not going to get many of the facts. So a lot of it almost everything else you hear is speculation on the basis of, well, you know, we really don't know, and they're not going to open the SIS files up for us and let us know. You know, so you know, that sort of thing is just being careful about what actually is said in terms of the facts and how much else is commentary, talk back, and so on, and then asking obvious questions. Well, you know, why should I believe the source? You know, why is this a reliable source of information? But I think what happens is we habitually just hear things and believe them.